So, North Korea says it can now strike the U.S. mainland with a nuclear weapon. Chairman Kim Jong-un made that claim after North Korea successfully launched a ballistic missile from a submarine for the first time last week. South Korean officials said the missile was launched toward Japan and traveled about 310 miles, about half the actual distance between the two countries. Although Japanese officials said the missile did reach its air defense identification zone, which is raising the question, should there be more sanctions against North Korea? Our security expert says, well, maybe not. Existing sanctions haven't done much to stop the country's nuclear weapons program. Jim Walsh is with MIT Security Studies Program. He joins us in the studio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Robin.
And start with that claim made by Kim Jong-un. Does North Korea have the ability to hit the U.S. mainland with a nuclear weapon?
The answer is a flat no, and they wouldn't have that capability for quite some time. But it's important to remember that we have U.S. forces in South Korea, we have U.S. forces in Japan, and it's conceivable that they could build a simple device and put it in a plane. So we've already sort of crossed that theoretical threshold. There are American forces who are at risk if they decided to do that. I don't think they're going to do it, but that is a theoretical possibility.
And that goes to the claim that they can hit Americans. But there are, you know, Japanese and South Koreans at risk already. So are you alarmed by this latest test?
Well, I think it's another in a slow progression where they're building their capability. I always say that they're in the muddy middle in the nuclear world. They've gotten that capability, but they haven't gotten quite to the point where they have a militarily reliable, secure second strike, which is sort of the definition of a modern nuclear weapon state. So there's still time to slow down this program, hopefully to freeze it and roll it back. But time grows shorter every day.
Yeah, and also you've pointed out they don't have submarines large and advanced enough to travel the long distance across the Pacific.
Right.
But we have this latest test. Now, there was a fourth nuclear test in January. There have been other ballistic missile tests, all in defiance of UN resolutions, and they prompted the existing sanctions. You and your colleague, John Park at Harvard, did the research and found that North Korea's state trading companies, these are the STCs, are already getting around the sanctions that are imposed.
Exactly. You've put your finger right on it. We were trying to answer this puzzle. How is it that we keep putting on sanctions and they keep on testing and even improving their capabilities? And what we did is we studied North Korea, Inc., this system of trading companies. And what we found is they have innovated in the face of sanctions. You know, we keep on passing sanctions, same verse, a little louder, but they've actually use countermeasures. They've buried themselves, burrowed into China. And what they do is they hire private Chinese middlemen, private brokers who go and represent them, do the procurement. It looks like the company's selling it to a Chinese firm, not a North Korean firm. And that's how they're able to get around the sanctions that are in place.
So, you know, be clear. I was kind of hinting at what you're saying. Are you saying the sanctions don't work? More sanctions won't work? What are you saying?
I'm saying we have to do it differently and we have to respond to their innovations. I mean, the irony here, one of the shocking findings in our study, counterintuitively, is that in some ways sanctions actually helped their procurement, improved it, because what would happen is we'd impose costs on the North Koreans. They turn around and monetize that cost and simply paid higher commission fees to their Chinese partners. And the higher commission fees drew bigger, more capable fish. So how do we get at that? First, we just disrupt North Korea, North Korean Inc. directly. Secondly, we have to find a way to work with China. 90% of all the trade with North Korea comes from China, and we're going to have to work with the Chinese. And we say, let's encourage them to use their domestic laws, their anti-counterfeiting, their anti-corruption, those sorts of laws.
Because they're trying to fight these things anyway.
Yes, exactly. Things they're already committed to, already a national priority for the Chinese government. But turn the focus of some of those to the private Chinese brokers that are helping the North Koreans import WMD-related technology.
Yeah, to use the laws they already have. And you say that will what? That will not put China in the position of looking like it's directly responding to the U.S. about North Korea.
Yes, it doesn't look like they're – it won't make them look like they're doing our bidding. And remember, the Chinese are sort of caught in a pickle here. They don't want North Korea to have nuclear weapons, but they're afraid if they squeeze them too hard, they'll end up with a failed nuclear weapon state on their doorstep. So the question is, how do you thread that needle, squeeze them so that they don't get nuclear – you know, advance their nuclear and missile programs, but not – while at the same time not doing things that would cause the sudden collapse of the country. So the way to get China on board with that, we think, is to have common purpose and really target these Chinese private middlemen who are helping the North Koreans do their business.
Just a few seconds left here. We're in an election year. How much much of a priority should North Korea be for the next president of the United States?
Well, I think it's going to be a continuing challenge. You know, I feel good about the Iran nuclear situation. I think the agreement pretty much battened that down as far as a nuclear threat. So the big one out there, the two big ones are North Korea, and they're going to continue to be provocative, and they've got this young leader, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen next. And then I continue to worry about India and Pakistan, who both possess nuclear weapons. We don't want to see a conflict between those two countries. So those are the two big nuclear priorities, if you ask me.
And they're big, and we are asking you, and we are respecting your response. Jim Walsh, here now, security analyst with MIT Security Studies Program. There's a link to the research that he and his colleague did at hereandnow.org. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you.